Luke 24 and beginning at verse 25. Luke 24 beginning at 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. I'm going to dwell on the resurrection for a while. I don't normally even do that as not really a holiday preacher, but we're going to touch on it today. Pray you'll get with us and pray you'll just bless the scriptures as we look at and just show us some things and help us to have a hungry heart and appreciate what you've got for us today. May we go out of here strengthened and encouraged by your word, Lord God, and by the truths that we see, all centered around the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you bless it, Lord God, and help us to love you and appreciate you and your word more than ever. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the passage there says that when Jesus had risen, he's walking along here, and he's with the disciples, and he's having to show them some things, and he says, beginning at verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, having the scriptures was not something unusual to them. They had scriptures, and they believed in scriptures, and they'd heard scripture preaching all their lives, but they hadn't heard it like this. In other words, they missed a lot. When they had come through the Old Testament, they completely missed what was there about Jesus Christ. And it's sad, but many Christians do it even today. I mean, read the Bible and just zoom, completely miss stuff. And there's a chance, I mean, I don't know, but there's a chance that we're gonna do just what he said there. We're gonna go to the Old Testament. And as we begin to come through some of this, you may run across some things that even you haven't seen before. Okay? Maybe you have, maybe some of you, this is all old stuff, nothing new, but maybe somebody here, you're going to see something of, wow, I've never seen that. I never thought of it that way before. And yet, just remember, it's been there the whole time. I didn't put it there. I didn't come in here and update the Bible. You brought your Bible with you. You're not using one that we printed. You got one with you. It's your Bible. And you might see some of these things for the first time. And when you do, just ask, Lord, how did I miss that? Help me not to be missing this stuff. Help me to slow down and see some of these things for myself, because I believe probably, or at least possibly, I should say, that this might have been the most interesting Bible study ever, because he took the book that they had known all their lives, the entire Old Testament, and he showed them things in it about him that they had no clue about. That must have blew them away. They must have been, I bet they would say, whoa, stop, where was that? Give me that highlighter, give me that pen. What was that again? You know, it had to be some of that going on. He said he began at Moses, okay, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So let's do just that. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I'll use a fail miserable in this attempt, but I will try to move quickly. And I'm pretty good at moving quickly in lots of things. It's just when it comes to preaching, I've just never mastered it. I tell you what, you throw a rattlesnake up here, I'll move quickly, all right? I promise you, guaranteed. All right, let's go to Genesis and chapter 1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take some time beginning in Genesis 1 and just marching through some selected portions of Scripture. I'm not going to just show you everything, but I'm going to show you quite a bit, starting in Genesis 1, things pertaining to not only just Jesus Christ. I mean, we'd be here for a long time for that. One time I taught a series here at the church on Wednesday nights only called Christ in Every Chapter. It took 4 years. It took 4 years of Wednesday night services. And And some of the chapters, it wasn't anything heavy, okay? I quite honestly had to strain, you know, and stretch a few things to get it, but a lot of it, it really is something there. And you, I mean, it's something you believe, you know, hey, that's real. We're not going to do any of that, but we are going to look at specifically the resurrection, principle found throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis. Chapter 1. Look at Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth, all right, bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. That's the first time in the Bible that any kind of life comes forth out of the earth. That's the first time. Look at what day it was, verse 13. And the evening and morning were the what? Third day. That could have happened on the second day, or the fifth day, or the fourth day, or the sixth. It just so happens that the earth produces life. Something springs out of the earth on which day? The third day. Isn't that interesting? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried according to the scriptures and rose on the third day. First Corinthians 5, the third day. Say, third day. That is a principle that holds true. In fact, I've put this kind of stuff up on the board for you many times. I won't go into a big thing today on it, but we do believe that God has a basic 7,000-year plan, and if you do that in seven separate periods, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, right? So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are right now, right here. Okay, that's about where we are right now. Calvary is right here. 4,000 years went by first. Remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? They were concerned that this is hopeless. He's dead. He hath been dead 4 days. Remember that? Picture of man in his sins, 4,000 years, was hopeless, apparently. And God said, oh no, I can take care of that. So even though man was, because they believe corruption set in after 3 days. So man had been dead 4 days, 4,000 years in God's eye, 4 days in God's eye, 4,000 years. So said, it don't matter. Okay, I'm gonna make an exception. Okay, and with Lazarus, he made an exception and raised him after 4 days. Remember that? And brought him up. Well, it says about Christ, we're gonna see a verse in a minute, Psalm 16, that he did not see corruption. I mean, he could not stay dead 4 days, so he had to come up the third day, because anything beyond that would have been corruption, and God's not gonna let his sinless son see any kind of corruption. So Jesus came up the third day. That's clear. We know that from the scriptures. But that sticks with a resurrection principle that starts in Genesis 1, because the earth brought forth, say, the grass and the herb yielding seed and all the vegetation on the third day. Life came out of the ground on the third day. Well, we're going to see this in a minute, but right now we're right here at Calvary, when Jesus paid for sins, and then after that, there's 1,000 years, there's 2,000 years, and this right here is the third day after Calvary. I know it's the seventh day total, but it's the third day after Calvary. Does that make sense? Say 1, 2, day 3. And then, that's called the day of the Lord, that whole thing right there is, and it starts with the rapture, which is what? A coming out of the ground, a resurrection. When is it? The third day after Calvary. Okay? All right, now, watch this thing unfold. Look at, turn over further in Genesis. Go to 22. Genesis 22. I'm going to try not to get hung up on non-related stuff. It's hard when you look at some of these passages, but I'm going to try to be good. 22. I started to say I'm going to try not to chase rabbits, but, you know, Easter Sunday, bunny, rabbit, you know. And if I'd said that, it wouldn't have been any pun intended at all. I wasn't thinking that at all. Look at Genesis 22. And what's going on here? God has told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and take Isaac and offer him. In fact, he calls him his only son. Isaac is not his only son. He's got another son, Ishmael. But Isaac is the only son through Sarah. He's the only one that's a picture of Christ. So he says, only son. Say, God so loved the world, he gave his what? Only begotten son. He tells Abraham, go offer your son on Mount Moriah as a burnt offering. Now he knows he's not going to make him do it, but he wants to see if he's willing. Say, all right, pick it up at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with me, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. That's a good old word right there, yonder. We'll go yonder and worship, watch it, and come again to you. Who's going to come again? I and the lad. Wait a minute, Abe. God told you to go sacrifice the lad. Well, then no, the lad's not coming back with you. He said, oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Let me read you this from Hebrews. I won't make you turn to it. In Hebrews 11:19, it says that Abraham did this, accounting that God was able to raise him up, Isaac, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham says, I and the lad are going to go worship. And our worship is going to include me sacrificing him as a burnt offering. Literally, that means slitting the throat, letting him die, and burning him. And then after all that's done, God is going to raise him back up. You say, why would he think a dumb thing like that? Because God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That means Isaac has to keep living. Well, he can't keep living if I kill him unless God raises him back up as a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Isaac, say, is the chosen son, the only son of the Father, just like Jesus Christ. See? So, we have a picture. You see that? Does that make sense to you? We have a picture. I won't say more about that. There's a tremendous preaching in all of that, but that's the resurrection aspect of it right there. In fact, in the New Testament, in John 8:56, you know what Jesus said? He's always saying crazy, radical stuff, you know, that makes no sense if you don't know the book. See? And they didn't know the book, so it blew them away. You know what he said? Told the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, when was that? Genesis 22. There's no other time in Abraham's life that it could be said he saw Christ's day. That makes no sense unless you understand that the thing on Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's his day. And Abraham saw it, and since he got to carry his son back home, he was glad. See? So, everything went good. All right. Genesis 40. Genesis chapter 40. The resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament. I mean, I know it's in the New Testament. Who doesn't know that? But it's in the Old Testament. And when it shows up in the New Testament, it's simply a fulfillment of all this stuff that I'm showing you. All these arrows pointing to the New Testament, to Calvary. Genesis 40, start at verse 20. Genesis 40, verse 20. Came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, That's an interesting thing too, but I'm not going to preach that. that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler. He'd been in prison, and on the third day, he got restored. And by the way, that is a fulfillment of an interpretation given by Joseph, the greatest type of Jesus Christ in all the Bible. Remember that? Joseph, when he told me, he interpreted the dream and so forth and said, Baker, I got bad news for you. you're gonna be dead. And butler, you're gonna be restored to your butlership. When? Third day. Third day restoration, see? Picture the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on. I'm trying to go reasonably fast. Numbers 17. Numbers 17. Number 17, and start at verse 6. Number 17, verse 6. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince won according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And God, this is what God told them to do. And what they're going to do, they're going to take all these rods representing the different tribes and put them up before the Lord and see what God does with it. All right? And Moses laid up the rod before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Because somebody's always wanting to know who's in charge, and my word's just as good as your word, and so-and-so just as good a leader as you are. God says, let me just settle this once and for all about who's in charge here. Came to pass, verse 8, that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth, there's that terminology again, buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and they took every man his rod. You say, what's that all about? That's God saying, take all these dead rods and just lay them up there, and I'm going to show you which tribe is my choice tribe for the priesthood, which is Levi, obviously, you know. And they all laid them up there, and when they came and looked later, one rod had signs of life, and all the rest stayed dead. You know what that's like? That's like the graveyard of history. And you go out there, and all these dead corpses are still on the ground. All these old tombstones are just sitting there. There's Buddha, you know. There's Confucius. There's Allah. You know, there's Martin Luther King Jr. There's Elvis. There's Mary. There's all the popes, every one of them lined up, one after another. Every one of them. And then over here, there's one tomb there's one grave that's open. And there's a headstone there. And you go over and look on the headstone, and it says, he's not here, he's risen. There's one that rose, and the rest are still there. That's what God did right there. He said, I'm going to show you who I approve of. I'm going to show you a glimpse of the resurrection, who's got some life that death can't conquer and can't keep in the ground, because he's going to come up. See, that's life. That's not staying down and dead. That's springing forth. So that you get a glimpse of the resurrection and the life that's in Christ, because you don't stay dead if you're alive. See, you only stay dead if you're dead. See, all right, let's move on. And that's why Christ, we in the New Testament, we find he's a prophet. Then he's a priest. Right now, he's in his office of a high priest. Hebrews talks about he's going to come back as a king. And that's why when Jesus was a little baby and they brought these gifts, what'd they bring? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The myrrh was for the prophet. the gospel ministry of Christ, the 33-year, the incense was for the priest. That's his present office, his high priest right now at the right hand of the Father. And the gold was for the king. He's coming back as a king, pictured by that thing right there, by the priesthood and so forth. All right, let's go to 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6, resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament. Second Kings 6. Verse 5. Start at verse 5. This is under the ministry of Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, the one who came after him. Elisha the prophet. 2 Kings 6, verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You ever done that? Borrowed something from somebody and then tore it up? You probably didn't say, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You probably just said, "Well, maybe they won't notice." And the man of God, the man, I super glue it back, you know. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. Now, watch this. This is a strange thing. If any of us had this situation to deal with, and we had to come up for a remedy for getting an axe head out of the water, nobody would come up with this. This is, I mean, even if you had the power of performing miracles, you wouldn't do it the way he did it. I would just stand there if I could just do something miraculous. And I would just say, "Hey, come forth," you know, and the thing would pop out of the water or something. But watch what he does. There must be some reason that he does this, and there is. And he cut down a stick. Okay. If I was going to cut down a stick to get an axe head out of the water, you know what I would do? I would get a very long stick. And I would fish for it in the water and hopefully stick it in there and then haul it out like that. Especially if it's clear water where you can see. Maybe I'd use a stick like that. He's not going to do that. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. That's no way to get an axe head out of the water to throw a stick at it. That makes no sense at all. Unless you're thinking about the resurrection of Christ. See? And you got a bigger thing you're trying to unfold here. And cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. I've never seen iron swim. That's, you know, some people can't swim, much less dead iron. The iron did swim. And he goes on talking about that. What's going on here? Well, Christ in the Bible says he cut it down. It says, where's that thing at? He cut down a stick, verse 6. Basically a branch. He goes to a tree and cuts off a branch and gets whatever portion of that he wants to get. You know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ in about 5 different places, I think, in the Old Testament. He's called a branch. In fact, he's called a branch in 4 of those places. He's called a branch in ways that correspond to each of the 4 Gospels. And then in one of them, it's duplicated. 2 references to one account. He's called the branch. The branch of the Lord. The branch of righteousness. In Isaiah 53, it says he was cut off like a branch. In Daniel 9, it says the Messiah, the prince, shall be cut off. There it is again. Like a branch. Like he's a branch. Well, the Holy Spirit knows all this before it's ever written, of course. So in 2 Kings, he decides to have some fun. I guess just to see how many Baptists will ever pick up on it when they start reading their Bibles, you know. Or how many preachers will ever take time to talk about it. I don't know. Here's this guy, and he goes and says, "Okay, we got an axe head in the water. And we've got to get the axe head, just a dead axe head. All right? Just a dead axe head in the water. If we wanted, we could even compare that to a sinner. An axe head is no good without a handle, right? Well, you're no good if you're just a dead axe head. You need a handle that God can hang on to. See? and then God can do something with you. You can be an instrument in the hand of God. But that got messed up in Genesis 3 when sin entered the picture. So now we're just a bunch of dead axe heads. You're said to be dead in trespasses and sin. This dead axe head is in the water. He cuts down a branch out of a tree. He gets that thing to where he can cast it in the water. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I'm just visualizing what might have happened. I'm guessing he might have trimmed off some of the stuff, and threw that thing like that in the water. If he did, if you've ever thrown anything long and straight like that into the water, here's what happens. It don't just hit the water and float on top. It don't hit the water and sink. You know what it does? It hits that water, goes down in the water for so much time, whatever the velocity causes, then it comes back to the top. The resurrection of Christ. And when it came back to the top, the axe did swim. You are resurrected because he is resurrected. See how that matches? Now, if I just made that up, okay, but then you got to explain why such a bizarre story for no apparent reason. That makes sense. See? All right, let's move on. Let's go to 2 Kings 20. Second Kings 20. Verse 5. Watch this now. Remember what I told you about this here. We're not going over all this a lot, but we got Calvary right here after 4,000 years of humanity. Men are dead in trespasses and sins. Lazarus, he hath been dead 4 days, okay? Man is dead, man is corrupt, man is hopeless in and of himself unless God does something. Well, God did plenty right there. And when he did it, humanity is not finished yet. There's still some more future of man to unfold, another 2,000 years of it being a church age, roughly. I don't know an exact date for the rapture, but I think it's soon. I think we're in the last days, and it's coming to an end. And then beginning with the rapture, all the way through the second coming and the millennial kingdom, all of that is called the day of the Lord in the Bible. Well, if it's the quote day of the Lord, which day is it? It's the seventh day, the Sabbath rest. God rested on the seventh day, kingdom. Or after Calvary, it's the third day. That's why a resurrection is on the third day. That's why in Genesis 1, the earth brought forth on the third day, and that's the third day principle. All right, watch it. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Why the third day? Why not right now, Lord? How come you can't? I like the third day principle. He said, I got something, bigger in mind. All this is fitting together progressively in due time. And just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I had a guy contact me about some stuff yesterday, and he questioned the reason I did a thing a certain way, and I didn't want to sound arrogant, but I wanted to say I didn't do it, but I just made light of it and said, don't worry about it, it's okay. I wanted to say, trust me, I know what I'm doing, because I really did. I had a plan that was more involved and deeper than he had thought, and that's what God is saying oftentimes. Something doesn't make sense, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I mean, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Just like that thing with the stick in the water. Lord, people are dying and going to hell down here, Lord, and you're going to tell us about a stick in the water? Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, he does. We don't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He said, on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. When's the rapture? On the third day. That's when you're going up into the house of the Lord. Isn't that wild? All right, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Jacob, give me some more water, please. Out of the cooler right here, please. Psalm 16. Some of your psalms are what we call messianic psalms. That is, they have a heavy emphasis on Christ the Messiah. And and Psalm 16 is one of them. I think the last one, I think, before Psalm 16 was maybe Psalm 8. Then you get Psalm later on. It's like 22, 23, and 24, all lined up together, picturing Christ, the prophet, priest, and king. But Psalm 16 for this one. Psalm 16, watch it. Start at verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. We call that the blessed hope. And that'd be a good verse. I don't guess I've ever seen it. But if I don't know if you ever think about stuff like this, but if you ever thought about putting something profound on your tombstone, that's a good thing right there. My flesh shall rest in hope. My favorite one of all time, I got to compartmentalize my favorite tombstones. My favorite good one, my favorite spiritual one, okay, is probably M.R. Dahan. It has two words on it. Perhaps today. That's all it says on it. Perhaps today. People go out there and say, they look at that. Perhaps today, what's he talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. George Washington has a quotation from John 11, I'm the resurrection and the life, you know, on it. And there's all kinds of interesting tombstones. But that'd be a good one right there. My flesh shall also shall rest in hope. For, here it is. This is Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One. Capital H, capital O, Christ. That's the key verse in the psalm. That's the one reason they call this a messianic psalm. Suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, if he'd been dead over 3 days, he would have saw corruption. So, and that's why, you know, generally, I mean, they have all kinds of preservation things they do now, but generally, if somebody dies, they're usually buried within 3 days. You know, it's pretty normal, pretty standard. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, resurrection. You're not seeing the path of life if you're buried in the ground. How are you gonna be dead and then see life? It must be you're gonna come out of the ground. So this is an Old Testament verse on the resurrection of Christ. My flesh resting in hope of a resurrection. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, sure, he ascended back and sit down to the right hand of the Father. At thy right hand, there are pleasures for evermore. I won't turn you to it, but in the book of Acts, I mean, I trust everybody believes that's about Christ. But if you happen not to believe it, or if you run into somebody who doesn't, Acts 2, verse 25 to 32, Peter preaches. And he says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, quoting from this passage. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So Peter says, that is about Jesus Christ, not David. Okay, David didn't know that, of course. David is just thinking, even after I die, God's going to take care of me. And he is, because you're a picture of Jesus Christ. That's the part he didn't know. Seeing this before, he spake of the resurrection of Christ. There it is. According to Peter, Acts 2, Psalm 16 is about the resurrection of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. All right. Isaiah 25. Turn to this one. Isaiah 25. Resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah 25. Start at verse 8, referring to what Christ does. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. Well, Paul quotes that in reference to the resurrection of all the saints in 1 Corinthians 15. But that chapter starts out saying that none of that's possible if Christ didn't come up. That's why Revelation 1:5 says he is the first begotten of the dead. So the first thing he did in swallowing up death and victory is coming up from the grave himself. And only we get to come up because he came up. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces. That's Revelation. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And lo, it should be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's what's being said all across this country today in churches, rejoicing in what Christ has done. Because look, we got this stupid thing, and I told you about it the other night from the Jehovah's Witnesses. They came by and left a little invitation brochure inviting people to come and celebrate with them the, quote, death of Jesus Christ. What an insane thing. What? How can you do that? How can you not realize that is insane? You know, celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. You know, and I don't know if they had a very good turnout or not. We were over at Union City the other night, and Noah pointed out that the Kingdom Hall has sold out to some store over there. I don't know if they're building a new one or went out of business or what. But anybody know? Are they getting... It's the Kingdom Hall become a shoe store. So, did they get a new building? Are they expanding? Or I don't know. I don't know. I know this. They're pretty dumb for celebrating the death of Jesus Christ. You celebrate his resurrection. If he didn't come out of the ground, you're not coming out of the ground. Okay? That's the end of that. And he did come out of the ground because it says right there, he swallowed up death in victory. Say, that's Christ, resurrection right there in the Old Testament. All right, come to Lamentations. You say, you're kidding me. Resurrection of Christ in Lamentations? Yes, absolutely. You say, well, it might just be your opinion. No way, no way. Lamentations 3. I mean, you're going to agree with me, I promise. You're going to agree. When you see this, you're going to say, wow. And you might say, I've never seen that before. And no credit to me for showing it to you. It was in the book. I mean, we can all, see it right there. It is. I didn't do anything except read it. Lamentations. Watch this. I mean, nothing else. This ought to encourage you to slow down when you read your Bible. Just slow down, and if you don't know what else to look for, just look for Jesus. He's all through there. Just it's good to look for everything. You know, everything that God wants you to get. But you can always do that. Lord, just show me something about Jesus. Where's he at? I guarantee you, out of any two pages, I mean, if I gave you Christ in every chapter, generally, you open up two pages like that, you got probably on average a couple chapters looking at you, a chapter and a half. So it's very likely that you can just take your Bible and just do this, whatever that is right there. And there's something about Jesus Christ right there on those pages. It's just a matter of the Holy Spirit illuminating it so you can see it and bringing it out so you can see it. All right? We're going to see that happen right here. Lamentations 3, Verse 52, watch it. Lamentations 3:52. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. Sound familiar? I don't even have to tell you what it sounds like. You know, say, you know. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a what? Stone upon me. Sound familiar? I'm not even telling you what it sounds like. You know what it sounds like. Waters flow over mine head. That's not literal water. That's a picture of the waters of God's wrath on sin. We've been through that before. It's called the one baptism. Baptism of God's wrath on sin poured out on Christ. Then I said, I am what? Cut off. He was cut off out of the land of the living. Isaiah, we just saw a passage about that branch in 2 Kings being cut off. Messiah the Prince should be cut off. And right here said, I am cut off. You know what else he said at that moment? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Cut off. Cut off. See that thing there? Keep going. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. We'll say the grave, the tomb that he's in. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. Christ on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father says, fear not. Everything going to be all right. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast what? Redeemed my life. What is that? Resurrection. How do you redeem the life of a man that's been cut off and put in a dungeon? You get him out of it. You bring him out of it, see? Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. There's a resurrection of Jesus Christ right there. All right, let's keep moving. Don't want to slow down too much. Wind up preaching a 90-minute sermon. You don't want that. All right, Daniel 6. Somebody say something? What was that? I heard a sound effect. Was that you? Oh. Okay, I will then. Fine. Diana said I can go ahead. So here we go. Daniel 6. Daniel 6, starting at verse 16. Daniel 6, beginning at verse 16. Now watch it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Satan is called a lion who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here, he wanted to devour Daniel, God's man. At Calvary, he wanted to devour Jesus Christ and actually thought he did. Daniel is going to be a picture of Christ in this with the devil out to get him. Now watch it. And cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Anybody could have said that to Jesus Christ at Calvary and said, don't worry, thy God in whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. He will. He's going to. And a what? Verse 17. Stone. There we go. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Sound familiar? And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed a night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning. Sound familiar? Easter morning? Early in the morning? Or they call it Easter, I don't. But the ladies, Mary coming to the garden. And went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Meaning, I'm not dead, I'm living. Like that angel. He's not here, you know, he's risen. Live forever. My God hath sent his angel. Sound familiar? Angel at the tomb, empty tomb. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, Christ, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Resurrection. See that? So Daniel was taken up. There it is again. Out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. See that thing? Picture the resurrection of Christ right there in the book of Daniel. All right, let's go to Hosea. Hosea. I just heard the tape. I still record cassette tapes just for anybody that wants a copy around here or something. And that brings back memories, because we used to record to make them available to people. So when I would do a verse-by-verse study, I would usually stop at 45 minutes when I heard the tape click over. Or when we had a Thursday night studies, I would do a full 90 minutes, verse-by-verse. And I would always know when I heard that sound, I'm either done or I'm half done. So I started to say, well, we're half done, you know, but we're better off than that. Don't worry about it. Hosea 5, watch this. Remember what I told you about the 3 days? Third day principle. Third day after Calvary, got that? After 2 days, after the church age, is the day of the Lord, starting with the rapture. All right, watch it. Hosea 5:15. I will go and return to my place. All right, Christ comes up from the grave. He ascends back to the Father and returns to his place. In fact, he says, I go to prepare what? Place, same word, for you. I will go and return to my place till they, Israel, acknowledge their offense. They crucified him. They killed him. They rejected him. He came to his own received him not. That's their offense. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. All right? He went back to his place right here after Calvary, and he's been up there for 2,000 years. Right? 2 days in God's eyes. Till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, the tribulation period, they will seek me early. Come, let us return to the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. Israel getting right with God. For he hath torn, tribulation, church age, Hitler, all that stuff. He will heal us. He has smitten. He will bind us up. After 2 days. What happens after 2 days? A third day. See? Third day resurrection. After 2 days, will he what? Raise us up. There it is again. See? See the match? Will he raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. You said that's not about Christ, that's about Israel. Yes, but the pattern is set by Jesus Christ. Nobody comes up until he first comes up. And after he comes up, then everybody else can come up. Here's the way it works. Jesus Christ, God has many sons. Okay? It's like the little Sunday school thing, you know, Father Abraham had many sons. Well, Father God has many sons. And the main son is Jesus Christ. He's God's divine son. Then we've got the nation of Israel. Israel is called God's son in Exodus and Hosea, some other places. Israel is God's son nationally, or collect corporately, nationally. Israel is God's son. Christ is God's son. And if you've been born again, you're God's son. Well, if you're God's son, you have a third day resurrection automatically, because Jesus Christ had one. So Israel, because they're going to believe on Christ, they are going to have a third day national resurrection. That's why they've been going back to the land, getting ready for it. And all Israel, Paul says, shall be saved right here. And they're going to be rejoined to their relationship with the Father. And that's why John chapter 2 verse 1, now there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee on the third day. Well, why not the fourth day? Why not the fifth day? Why not the first day? God said, I like the third day. Wedding on the third day, meaning what? Israel didn't get right here, didn't get right here. But once this early, on the third day, when the sun rises, say, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Not the end of the third day. After 2 days, the beginning of the third day, is resurrection time. Resurrection time for Jesus Christ, for the church, and for Israel. See, all three. It all matches that pattern, that system. All right, that makes sense. All right, good. Because I don't know any other way to say it. Jonah, last one. Jonah. He said, Jonah, a picture of Christ? Absolutely. According to Christ himself, Jonah's a picture of Christ. Jonah 2. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 12? I won't turn you to it, but Matthew 12, verse 40. Jesus says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, Jonah is a picture of me. So all you Pharisees and Sadducees have been reading about Jonah and thinking you're like Jonah and the great prophet Jonah. If you didn't think about me when you read Jonah, you completely missed it. He said, you missed it. Jonah is about me. Jonah 2, watch this. And you ought to expect to get something when Jesus himself says, Jonah's about me. Well, then that means go back and pay attention to Jonah. Jonah 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You ever get in the fish's belly? First thing to do is pray. Amen? and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Christ on the cross, praying. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Ooh, Christ dies. And thou heardest my voice. We've seen some of those passages already today. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. Picture of Christ going through that wrath of God, being poured out on sin. And the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. That is all wrapped up in the statement of Jesus when he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with that you know not of. He'd already been baptized in water. He wasn't talking about that. Because in the same passage, he talked about drinking of the cup that the Father was going to give him to drink of. And that's the cup of God's wrath poured out on sin. He said, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All of that is poured out on him, and it's like a baptism. It's like being immersed in God's wrath in so much that God turns his head and won't look on him. And when he does, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, it all fits together. So he's going through all of that wrath on sin, being taken on himself. Then said I said, verse 4, I am cast out of thy sight. Christ buried. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple, resurrection. The waters can pass me about even to the soul. He said, my soul is sorrow, even unto death. Isaiah 53:10 has a very strong verse in it, and I comment on it, but I just don't go too far. You know what it says in Isaiah 53:10? Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That's a heavy verse. Waters can pass me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. Watch this. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Kind of like a crown of thorns, wouldn't you say? I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Christ in the grave, buried. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Resurrection. O Lord my God. See that thing? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I was dead. I was cut off. I was cast away as being done with forever. And yet I enjoyed the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Resurrection. That's pretty rough resurrection you got there. Listen, if I ever get in the belly of the fish, I just want out. I don't care how I get out. Just get me out. Amen. And that there he is. What about that? And even that, listen, this stuff never ends. We got Jonah down in the belly of a fish. And he's such a backslidden Baptist, even the fish don't like him. So he, burps him. He regurgitates him out. You say, how in the world is that a picture of Christ? You ready? I'm going to give you a verse. Isaiah 26, the earth shall cast out the dead. Jesus Christ is righteous. He's sinless. He doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong in this sin-cursed world that has a habit of doing nothing but holding the dead. He's not the dead. He's the living. See? Turn to that. Isaiah. Right quick. That wasn't one I was going to give you, but we'll look at it before we stop. Isaiah 26. Is that right? I think it's right. I said what? Yeah, Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live. There we go. Christ on the ground. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Watch this now. If you want to say it this way. Thy dead men shall live. Anybody that believes on Christ. Together with my dead body, Christ, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Be something. I don't know what we're going to sing going up. That'd be interesting. We'll all come up out of the ground singing. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall what? Cast out the dead. I mean, the idea is, get out of here. I don't want you. Just like the whale throwing up Jonah, get out of here. And he goes on with that. But we don't belong here. This world's not our home. It wasn't his home. And he came up, and because of that, we're going to come up, amen? And all this stuff, from Genesis through all the minor prophets, these pages of Scripture just scream of the resurrection of Christ. It's there. If we just slow down and pay attention, you don't have to wait till you get to the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to find out what happened. You knew what was going to happen, see, from all that stuff. So let's appreciate the Scriptures, amen? And the resurrection of Christ, because he came up, we come up. All right, let's all stand.